Call-in guest joining us is music artist C's Mikes. What's going on, C's?
Not much. How are you?
We're doing fantastic, man. How's it going? How's the music making going?
It's good. It's been a nice, productive Friday, so I'm just settling in for the weekend.
Yeah?
Ready? Yeah. Preparing for another NFL season coming up.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we love.
Lots to look forward to.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, you're a big, big sports fan. But, you know, before we get into some of your favorite teams and favorite players, let's start out with, you know, you and music. And we know that you're a music artist who does music from a whole set of genres. You got hip-hop, rap. I saw that you were doing psychedelic as well, some electronic music. So, you know, talk to me about what got you into music.
So I grew up in Kensington, Maryland, which is a suburb outside of D.C. People from this area would know it because on the Beltway, if you're driving towards Maryland or Virginia, you'll see what looks like Disney World. That's the Mormon Temple. I grew up on that street.
Wow.
And so, you know, I mean, at that time, I guess it was like the early 90s, the mid-90s, people like Wu-Tang and Cypress Hill and hip-hop was really becoming a big part of pop culture.
Right.
So I got exposed to it through that, and then, you know, I was just sort of this little poser kid in the burbs, thinking I could rap. And I got to high school, and I went to Georgetown Prep, which is a school in Rockville, Maryland, and there was a kid there from Manhattan. He goes by Deep. He's part of a production crew now called Two Hungry Brothers. They're really dope. They've worked with Homeboy Sandman. They do really good work. So he got me into rhyming, and then from there, he got me into breakdancing and graffiti, neither of which I was any good at. Yeah, you know, it's like I ended up rapping because I wasn't good at anything else, basically. But so there was a really, really, really good scene down in D.C. at the time of freestylers, and there was a group of people called Freestyle Union. Mm-hmm. So I would go down there and just freestyle, you know, for people who aren't familiar with the term. To me, freestyle rap has always meant extemporaneous, just something right off the top of your head. I know it's got different definitions for different people, but that's what Freestyle Union was about. You sort of have these workshops where you would sit in a circle with people and they would throw out topics at you or have you rhyme a word beginning with every letter of the alphabet, sort of exercises like that to get your brain going. And I just took to it. I was always sort of a class clown. I got a little bit of OCD in me, so the idea of repetition and thinking quick on your feet appealed to me. So by the time I was 18 or 19, I had done quite a bit of battles and open mics and sort of had a good name going down in the city. And so I started a group with another guy called Educated Consumers. The other guy's name is Jason. Mm-hmm. He did the beats, I did the raps. And then from there, just as the internet was starting to take off, and there was stuff all over the country like Scribble Jam and Brainstorm out in Seattle. Scribble Jam was in Cincinnati. There was just more and more opportunities for people like me to go out there and flex my skills and get my name out there and network with the people that I was, you know, looked up to and whose music I enjoyed. And so over the last, I don't know, 15, 16, 20 years, whatever, it's just been sort of progressively getting better and better at rap. And somewhere in there, I started to write poetry and do spoken word. You know, it's all sort of based around the ability to have something clever to say and say it in a clever way. But the group I was in, Educated Consumers, we did a lot of touring. We did a lot of local stuff, and it was very traditional rap. The last record I put out is called Cool Fuel, and the production on that, it's pretty interesting. One of the guys I grew up with in Kensington is a guy named Max Bent, and he's just a phenomenal beatboxer. Mm. So, you know, we've been friends for a long time, and when we were in college, we would just, you know, just sort of hang out in front of wherever we were living. He would start beatboxing, I would freestyle, and we always had really good chemistry, and when Educated Consumers would do big shows in D.C., like at the 930 Club or the Black Cat, I would always ask Max to come get involved because his talent is so unique, particularly in a live setting. It really grabs people's attention. So he had sent me a bunch of beats that were all beatbox-based in like 2013. And then by the time I was done putting together Cool Fuel, I did a tour for that. And that was the last record that I put out. And I feel like that was the one that was sort of a little bit of rap, a little bit of spoken word. There's a song on there called Human Farm that's sort of like a folk song. It's probably the most eclectic collection of music that I've done. So that's my story.
And you actually mentioned it earlier when you talked about the Wu-Tang Clan, but when you're growing up and when you look at your music now, who was a role model out there that you could say, I really respect and I would love to, you know, put my name out with them and, you know, relate to them?
So it's funny, the timing of everything, and I'll just let the listeners know, I do a podcast with two other guys named Chuck and Steve. The podcast is called Chrome Bills. We've done about 110 episodes, and we've had a bunch of interviews on there, including people like Slug of Atmosphere, Sage Francis, Edon, DJ ID, who's a local dude who's just blown up, does really big stuff in the DMV, and worldwide, DJ Rags, you know, a lot of big names like that. Mm-hmm. So yesterday I interviewed Slug of Atmosphere. They have a new record out called Fishing Blues, and that episode's going to post on Monday. It was a really good interview. So to backtrack to your question, once the internet took off and it made it easier for artists to circumvent the needs that you would have provided for you by a major label, like distribution and marketing and promotion and things like that, once it became something that, you know, instead of having to have a staff of people who could sit and stuff envelopes, you could just shoot off emails yourself. There was quite a few labels that were starting to become, you know, basically, I mean, they were literally independent rap labels. And there was one out of Minnesota, still is, called Rhymesayers. Atmosphere is the flagship artist off of them. So when I first got put on to Atmosphere, and then I found out about Anacon, and then I found out about Definitive Jux, and then I found out about Stone Still and Freestyle Fellowship, there was a handful of artists all over the country, you know, not just locally, because locally coming up, I wanted to be like Kokai or Priest of Nomad or Tony Blackman, you know, the people I was in the ciphers with at Freestyle Union. And then once I realized that, wow, this is a countrywide thing, and then, of course, you know, with DJ Honda, you realized it was the global thing. I wanted to do, you know, my own version of independent rap in that, you know, I felt like it gave you a lot more creative control. You could be a lot more expressive. And so the label that I always looked up to was Rhymesayers. And so when they were really starting to blow up, anytime Brother Ali or Mac Lethal or Atmosphere or Idea and Abilities would come around in the early 2000s, Educated Consumers would be the opening act. And then by 2009, Educated Consumers, we got the chance to tour with Idea and Abilities a couple times. And for people who aren't familiar with Idea and Abilities, Idea was the MC, rest in peace, he passed a couple years ago. But when he was like 16, he won the Blaze Battle that aired on HBO. And, you know, in that sort of same era, he had also won the Rocksteady Battle. He won School Jam. He was just this prolific battle MC that also went on to have this amazing career of all types of different stuff. You know, rap music, the Idea and Ability stuff was amazing. Carbon Carousel was sort of like a punk rock band. And it was all, you know, it wasn't like Lil Wayne making a rock album. Like, it was very legitimate, dope music, you know? Like, it wasn't just him saying, I want to try this, just try it, you know, because I've got my name out there and I could sell a couple thousand of these records. He was very legitimately good at that. The more I interacted with him as a person, I'd always admired him as an MC from afar. But the more I got to hang out with Idea, he was my biggest inspiration. So there was people like that, you know, and then I always tell people my favorite rap record of all time is by a guy named AC Alone, who's down with Freestyle Fellowship. He has an album called A Book of Human Language. He's from L.A., you know, like, it's just the geography that might have restricted what people's perception of what they were influenced by, like, in the late 80s, early 90s. That wasn't an issue for me by the time when I was 20. I mean, now, you know, people are stealing records the second that they come out on torrent sites. You know what I mean? So, like, it's a little bit different. But I would definitely say, you know, the Rhymesayers people were my biggest influences, and the ones who, you know, not just aesthetically and artistically, but just sort of the way that they ran their business and everything, that was something I always aspired to be like.